cycle.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
What kind of tax break would you need to feel it in your pocket? Like, what makes a dent for you when you think about how much you paid in taxes this year or the last year, and if you paid X amount less next year, what would that dollar amount have to be to really feel like it moved the needle? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And I am asking this because yesterday, Wisconsin Republicans passed their plan to cut income taxes by 15% on average. And that was the big kind of shoe drop that I think a lot of people expected. Their big thing was going to be cutting taxes. And so it came from the Joint Finance Committee. And it's a total of $3.5 billion through a plan that focuses its largest reductions on the state's wealthy and middle-class filers. And there's a lot of numbers rolling around. And this is not final. This is still something that has to go to Governor Evers' desk. And he's made it pretty clear that he is in opposition to focusing income tax relief on top earners, and he would likely not sign a budget that would lower the state's top income tax rates. But who knows? Because the last time we did this, he did, and then he claimed as his when he ran for reelection. But instead of, you know, I think a lot of the conversation I've seen on Twitter so far is probably exactly what you thought. There's a lot of Republicans who are celebrating this. There's a lot of Democrats and left-leaning people who are saying more tax cuts for the rich. I don't want to get up in arms about it because it's not done. But I'm just really interested in how tax cuts change behavior and like what it actually means for you and how much money would it have to be to feel it. Because certainly, if you make a lot of money, there's a lot of money to be saved. And if you make an average, even still a lot of money, like, you know, the average right now, the average comes out to about $500, a little bit more. So the average tax cut is $573 per year per taxpayer. And I guess my question is, does saving $573 less in taxes make a big enough difference for you to be celebrating this? 844-967-2789. We have Michael on the phone from Eagle River.
I think he's just from Eagle. Wisconsin. Eagle, in Waukesha, Wisconsin. County.
How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing well. I apologize for this, but I'm actually going to reject the premise of your question there, in so much that I don't know that even, I mean, unless you're on the really top end of like the 1% of top earners out there, you're not really going to necessarily feel this as much as you will. You feel a lot more when spending is reduced on a state level.
Okay.
That's in our roads and bridges, in our education, that kind of stuff. That I feel like is something you feel a lot more saving 15% on state income taxes, right? Because that's so much, your state income taxes are so much a smaller fraction of the overall tax you pay, whether or not that's Medicare and Social Security taxes or federal income taxes, they're so much smaller that you're not going to feel that as much as you are in the lack of spending that this might result in the long term. And I think that's what you're going to feel more rather than the relief, quote unquote, relief that you might feel from this 15% tax return that's going to go, or tax cut that's going to go mostly to the wealthy and somewhat the middle class.
I would very much agree with you, Michael, but I think it's interesting because the way they're being sold is this is a tax cut for everyone, right? It's all four brackets. It is something, but it's like the marginal, and that's why I'm interested in how, if anyone feels like $500 would make a big difference in my household and what that, how that changes. Because I agree with you in that the trade-off of this is cuts to programs, cuts to spending on roads and a lot of things that we all use. And is it worth it? So thanks so much for the call. Next up, we got Emily from Appleton. What do you think, Emily? How much would this make a difference for you?
Hi. Well, I think, like, as far, like, I'm coming from a place of being on the upper end of things. Like, we'd see a really significant amount back. And so as far as it making, like, I feel like in this moment, we need to recognize, like, what it means to the people that are, like, at the lower end of the earning, you know, I don't know, scale. And that, that would be, like, I think we can acknowledge that that would be huge. And like your previous caller mentioned, like, the amount of spending in the state that we'd see decrease because of this tax plan would be the lasting hurt. But I do think that, like, when my family would see tens of thousands of dollars back, we don't need that. You know, like, this is, for me, like, a question of, like, what is society, right? Like, what do we need to pay into? Like, what is that? Because the average of $15 at the lowest income earning level is ridiculous. Like, it's not, that's not a tax break. that's like a family meal at McDonald's, you know, like, and I am completely appalled that they're touting this as being any sort of, like, any sort of boon for anybody that's at the lower earning level.
Well, not so, even lower earning level, because I'm looking at the chart that's been circulated as far as the average per, you know, under 50K, 50 to 100K, 100K to 500. The average cut for the income group that's 100K to 500K, which is a lot of money in Wisconsin, is $1,231, which is, for a lot of people, as long as, so if you take it to talking about childcare, is less than 1 month's tuition for childcare in most places in Wisconsin. And so that's why I'm curious as far as, like, who thinks this is really a huge windfall for them, besides the people who are making over $1 million, who would see $30,000 back, or over $30 million, of which I think there's only like 11 of those in Wisconsin, but they'll see like over $600,000 back. And so I just am curious to hear from people on what does this mean for them? So as someone who's had a lot more than the average person to earn, it's really interesting to also hear you say this, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't make the trade.
No, I think it's ridiculous, and it's not, we don't need it. We don't need it. So.
Well, thanks so much. Thank you for the call, Emily. But I would love to hear from you as far as what would you need to earn or to make to feel like this is a good deal, and instead of some of, you know, funding the UW system or childcare or putting money back towards roads or funding the Brewers, because that deal is still not done. And like all of the other priorities and things that have been floated as things that we need and that would help. Is it worth the trade-off? Like, how much money do you have to get back for that trade-off to be worth it? 844-967-2789. We have a text or a comment on the YouTube live stream. As always, you can watch us instead of just listen to us by joining us on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, or Twitter Live at As Goes Wisconsin. This comes from Andrew Longworth. An extra $20 per biweekly paycheck would not be noticed. $537 a year divided by 26 pay periods. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I think for my family, we would fall into like the $1,200 range as a married couple. And like, does that mean I want to give up all of these, like, for that amount of money? Is there all these other things that I would say this is worth it to not fund these other programs? For me, no. I'm also a bleeding heart, so I understand where I typically fall on my collectivist attitudes, but I would love to hear from you on how this, where you would fall and how much it would really make a difference for you. 844-967-2789. And I should also acknowledge the elephant in the room. This is the first show ever, I think, since she joined, that Jane Matinier has the day off. And instead, on the board, we have Calvin. Calvin, do you have thoughts on this? What would move the needle for you as your taxes, as a young man?
In reality, I don't know if I make quite enough money to really worry about it.
This doesn't affect you.
But yeah, I don't know. $20 out of every paycheck certainly wouldn't be noticeable to me. Like an extra $20 doesn't add up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're happy to have you on the board today.
I'm excited to be here.
First time. First time in As Goes Wisconsin.
Well, when you had the host training in Madison a few months ago, I did fill in on the board.
That is true.
When Dan filled in, I think it was Dan.
Was I not here at all?
Yes, you were not here at all.
Okay, so you've been here.
So this is my first time with you, though.
Yeah, let's have a fun Friday.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good. All right, well, we are asking the question, how much money back in taxes would move the needle for you to feel like this was a win? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Because I think the way that this is getting, and actually later in the show today, CJ Safer is back, CEO of Institute for Reforming Government, someone who is very much a supporter of cutting taxes. He actually falls on the side of wanting to cut income taxes altogether from the standpoint that it attracts workers. And I think one of the questions I'm excited to ask him about it, because we're going to talk about a lot of things. I think there's a lot to talk about with someone who is center right versus where I stand on a lot of this stuff. When we talk about solving our bigger problems as a state, where we fall, because I think the other question I have with this is how much less in taxes would you have to pay to motivate you to move? Because that's one of the arguments that they're saying is by cutting taxes, it makes us a more desirable place to live. But if we're giving the biggest tax cut to the highest earners, and in this case, the highest earners are at an individual rate, make $280,000. And I'm just curious of like, are those the kind of workers we're trying to, like if that's the biggest tax break, is that also simultaneously who we're trying to motivate to move to Wisconsin? And how many of those people are actually out there? Because at least anecdotally for me, and I'll say this to CJ, like all of my friends who have ever moved because of tax purposes certainly were very wealthy, but they also weren't employees. Like they were owners and they were private equity. They were, you know, crypto guys. And so they moved to like Puerto Rico to chill and evade taxes altogether. All right. Would love to hear from you. This is As Goes Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry, and I am joined today, instead of Jane is off today, so we got Calvin on the board, going to have some fun. We have after this segment, there's a lot of guests. We got Pat Kreitlow joining us in the next segment for the rest of the hour from Up North News Radio for our weekly civic media crossover, where we're going to go through his opinion of what the best, worst, and weirdest stories from the week were, and also play a little bit of a headline game. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to be joined by CJ Safer from Institute for Reforming Government to talk about, I think, a variety of, there's a lot to talk about as far as everything that's been going on with budget negotiations and bills that have been getting passed, and Madison has been very busy, and he approaches things from a center-right policy perspective. And so I think talking through some of the things that have been happening and how that affects Wisconsinites will be really interesting to get that from him. And then at 11:30, Matt Miller will be here from On Milwaukee to give us our monthly pop culture update. But right now, I am asking you to let us know what moves the needle for you. When we talk about tax cuts, what dollar amount would feel like a win, like would feel like a noticeable difference for you versus like kind of like, you know, the idea of a tax cut. And you're like, oh, like return taxes to the working people. They pay, it's their money. which I get. I get that argument as far as like why logically that makes sense. But as far as the different spending that could happen to programs that could impact you and make your life better versus a dollar amount that you would get back and get to choose to spend it how you want, how much money would that have to be to feel like that is the right trade-off? And even different question, how much money, how much less in taxes would you have to pay to motivate you to move to another state? Because part of the argument with this Republican tax bill is that by lowering the income tax rate, especially the highest income tax rate, it makes us a more appealing place to live and keeps people from moving, potentially gets people to move here. And I'm curious as far as when it's the top tax rate, which is either $280,000 as an individual or $374,000 as a married couple, are those the people, is that the people we're trying to get to move here? So 844-967-2789. Would love to hear from you on this topic as far as what moves the needle for you. Because, you know, as far as the average tax cuts per group, if you make under $50,000, that affects about 900,000 Wisconsinites. And their average tax cut's going to be about $36 back. If you make between $50,000 and $100,000, that's another 770,000 Wisconsinites. They get $281 on average back. 100K to 500K, which feels like a big allotment, that's 654,000 Wisconsinites. They would see around $1,200 back. People who make $500 to $1 million, that's about 20,000 people in Wisconsin, they would get $6,000 back. People who make $1 million to $30 million, which I guess there are 79, there's almost 8,000 of them that live in Wisconsin, they would see about $30,000 back. And for the six, I got that wrong. It wasn't 11, it was 66. There's 66 people in Wisconsin that make over $30 million. And they would see 649,830 back from their income taxes, which I get. That's a lot of money to write in income taxes. But I also think it's interesting because I found this chart as far as the Wisconsin taxes as a share of family income. And so when you think of the taxes we all pay, there's certainly income taxes, which is a progressive tax rate. There's property taxes, and then there's sales and excise taxes. And still for the top percent, as far as a percentage of your family income, everyone in the, like, what am I looking at this? Like, so the top 1% pays about 7.7% of their family income to taxes versus the lowest 20% pay about 10. Now, granted, the lowest 20% isn't paying income taxes, but as far as a share of percentage of their family income, just on sales and excise taxes and property taxes, it ends up being about 10% of their income. And so I think it's just interesting as far as what we talk about, what is fair, and is fair a percentage of your income, or is it the total you're contributing to the larger pot? And we probably, depending where you are on the ideological spectrum, have different definitions of what is fair. So I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about more about this, certainly with CJ, but I have a feeling maybe Pat will even bring this up when he's on next. For we're going to go through the best, worst, and weirdest headlines and his opinion from this week. But we'd still love to hear from you if you want to shoot us a text or even call us about how much money do you have to make back in taxes in order to feel like this was a win, this was worth it, this moves the needle in my household budget. So shoot us a text, give us a call, 844-967-2789. When we come back after the break, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, which you can hear every day 6 to 8 a.m. across the Civic Media Network is going to join us. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry with Calvin on the board today. Jane has the day off. And we are very excited to welcome our friend, our colleague. You can hear him from 6 to 8 a.m. every morning across the Civic Media Network. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio and up the founding editor of Up North News. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, Kristen. Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
So nice to have you. I was on your show last Friday, so we're getting the crossover ball rolling.
That's right. We try to do that as often as we can on our show. Normally, not until the very last few minutes. People seem to have a problem with the 6:06 in the morning segment. So we go with 7:50, and that seems to work some of the time.
I've also heard that some of your guests you pre-record because they're like, I'm not getting up with that early, Pat.
Oh, yeah. There's especially on Wednesdays, I have a few different guests that show up, and they really help fill the show at that 6 a.m. hour on Thursday, Friday, and then Monday and Tuesday. So God bless them for doing it. But it makes for a busy Wednesday and trying to sound timely. But somehow we managed to pull it off.
All right. Well, we'll come to catch up a little bit more on your show and everything because we have to for the full half hour. But I wanted one of the things that we do when we invite some of the other civic media hosts on here is to, you know, do a little bit of a roundup for the week and get your opinion on some of the best, worst, and weirdest stories from this week. So I guess let's start with the good news. Pat Kreitlow, what do you think was one of the best, what was the best story from this week, both either in Wisconsin or nationally?
I'm going to tell you, this was really hard this week. This week was, I mean, I've got so many candidates for worst.
Yeah.
And for best, well, look, best, if I were here a week ago, I would have said best in quotation marks that Governor Evers and Republicans in the legislature could come together on this kind of grand bargain. And as we've said on our show a lot, there's a lot there for people to not like, but the fact that they actually agreed on something is a win. But that was last week. For this week, honestly, by the time I got done looking around, to me, the best story of the week was seeing that Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg might fight in a cage. And it's the best story of the week because one might not come out. Maybe both. Fingers crossed, you know?
Do you think that's actually going to happen? Or do you think Elon Musk is just trolling Zuckerberg?
Oh, they're constantly trolling, but they're also, you know, attention mongers. And if they can either get the attention or monetize it, of course they'll go through with it. Because remember how ridiculous we thought it was when Danny Bonaducci, you know, from the Partridge Family, was challenging people to fight way back when? And now it's just standard operating procedure to be a celebrity or an executive celebrity.
Do you feel like the next level might be, as we know, that they had a little bit of a cat fight on the House floor, if we can get a cage fight between MTG and Bobo?
Oh, my goodness.
I bet they might do it. I bet. Like, I imagine someday, if they're not elected officials anymore and they need extra cash, I honestly think both of them would do it for enough money.
I would definitely pay to see them in the cage, provided that we then dropped the cage at a certain point in the North Atlantic. Then, a little morbid, I know, but you went there. That's the conditions under which I care to see, you know, those two do anything.
Would you pay to watch Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg? Like, would you pay the pay-per-view?
No.
I don't even know if pay-per-view is still a thing, but you would not. You just read about it the next day.
Absolutely. I mean, that's as much as Elon Musk has ruined Twitter, it's still running across my screen as kind of the old, you know, AP news ticker. So I would just follow the play-by-play that way from other folks.
Whoever's live tweeting it. All right. Well, that is a dismal best of the week.
It's so dismal.
But we'll take it. So what did you choose then as your worst story of the week?
The worst story is the story that we've actually predicted here since the very beginning of Up North News Radio. And as I was introducing myself to the audience as a former legislator and a former journalist in Eau Claire, and saying, I know these people. And at the time, the surplus was projected to be about $3 billion. It grew to $4, $5 billion and so forth. And I said, what Republicans are positioning themselves to do isn't to invest the surplus. This is a heist. Mm-hmm. And yesterday they made it official that they want to clean out the vault and take much of that surplus and not put it into things that benefit children or infrastructure, families, businesses, anything. They want to do just what you were talking about earlier and give it away primarily to the super wealthy, still thinking that after all these decades, anybody but the wealthy believes in trickle-down economics anymore.
Have you heard my joke? It's not, I actually stole this joke, but have you heard this joke as far as let kids believe in Santa Claus? There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
Absolutely they do. And when you were going through the numbers of how much people would save, it reminds me of a line I use all the time, because somebody will say, well, I want that $1,200. I'm guessing I'd get about $1,200 back, from this. And people say, well, yeah, you should get it because you can spend your money better than the government. And my response is always, no, I didn't fill any potholes today. You didn't fill any potholes today. I want somebody to fill the potholes. I want somebody to teach my kids. I want somebody to make sure my drinking water is clean. Take that $1,200 and put it to work rather than putting it back into the pockets of people who tend to write them big checks.
Well, and if you looked at, because sometimes I follow a lot of policy wonk people, big shock, and some of the numbers as far as the discrepancies of, you know, one of the things that keeps getting thrown out there is how much this will help small businesses and how much of the small businesses are in the top bracket. But I was reading some numbers and some threads that that's just not true. Have you looked into these numbers at all as far as like in the, when you can download the data from Wisconsin tax filers, as far as business or professional net income, only about 7% filed with $200,000 or more under business and professional income. And so where are they getting this number as far as saying most of the people in the benefits of that top bracket are small business owners?
It's projection, and it's all meant, any of these numbers are meant to divert attention away from the real issue, is that a lot of these small businesses, again, it's not about the money. They can't find good workers, so they want the minimum wage raised. They want paid family leave because they can't do that on their own. They have competition. But if everybody on Main Street, which is why the Main Street Alliance has been so good at this, this is a whole bunch of small business people saying, hey, you, the government, give us a level playing field so that we can compete. Don't make us race to the bottom in terms of wages and, well, we can't give you any time off or anything like that. Those are the things small business people want. They want high-speed internet, and they see that Republicans in the legislature last week took the state investment in broadband to $0, because they say, well, federal money will cover it. That's no reason not to continue the state investments that get higher-speed internet to these small businesses and farmers that need it.
And so where do you think, if you were a betting man, or if you were, are you in the prediction business, or did you get out of that in 2016?
We got like out so of that, yeah, 2016. We all lie, and we make them anyway.
And so, because there's also the other part of this, which is they voted yesterday on to cut the $32 million from the UW system for DEI.
Yes. Having the gall to stand up against racism.
I know.
Good job.
But it's not even just racism. I think that's the thing that people, the misnomer around DEI is the same confusion and lack of shared definition that we had around CRT, which mm-hmm. is diverse. You know, the DEI programs are veterans, are people who are disabled, are a lot of people beyond just race and ethnicity and gender identity.
But they don't know that.
They don't talk about that part.
Because DEI is just CRT, and CRT is just welfare queens, and welfare queens was just Southern strategy, and Southern strategy was just states' rights. It's all the same.
Yeah.
It's a group that it's, you know, the reasons are dark, and I don't even like thinking about them, but they're still there.
They're still there. So I guess my question is, do you think the entire budget gets vetoed? Or do you think there's line item things that Evers goes through and does?
That's always one of the toughest predictions to make in Wisconsin, simply because the line item veto here is so unique. And it's been changed a few times, but it is still amazingly complex to try to figure out all the different ways a governor can, you know, red pen a budget in one way or another. So my short answer is, if he can find a way to do it through line item vetoes, he'll sign it. If he goes through it all and says this thing is not salvageable, I'd say there's a 10% chance that he vetoes it at best. I think he's one of those folks that, like this great big deal that they made 2 weeks ago, he's a practical person mm-hmm. at heart and takes the half a loaf and lives to fight another day.
Because ultimately the different options are, if he vetoes it, this basically gets booted till October, right?
Well,
and we just extend the budget that we're working with now.
Or beyond, because and that's a win for Republicans. They don't see any downside in delaying a budget. And I sat through one of these in 2007. To them, it's just, well, we just continue. We don't have to increase anything by a single dollar. We just continue on as we are. So there's no real pressure on them. The only pressure Republicans feel is from their own constituencies. And look at all of the moms and dads and providers and small businesses putting pressure on them to amend the budget bill next week and put something back into child care accounts. It's that kind of personal pressure that's the only thing that's going to move them, not, you know, whether the governor will sign this or not.
And does it, though?
There's
just so many popular things that we've seen no movement on. And so does that pressure actually work, or is this just a group of people who are so beholden to the party and donors that, and they're protected, that it doesn't make a difference? And I hate saying that, because it's like, I'm in the business of trying to motivate people to do stuff and be engaged, but I don't know.
No, I have seen things go back into the budget on the floor. Never, of course, to the extent that, you know, you would find acceptable, but where they say, oh, you know, on second thought, and they'll put, now, again, what did the governor put in? $340 million for child care accounts? You know, right. And the Republican answer last week was a $15 million revolving loan fund. Mm-hmm. I could absolutely see a floor amendment next week that says, well, we're going to stick to our guns on the revolving loan fund and we'll just make it $30 million. Well, that still does almost no good for providers. But the, you know, budget amendments do happen. It's just that, yeah, no matter how much pressure you get, there's much more pressure from leadership to conform with what's put in front of you the first time.
Absolutely. All right. Well, then with the couple minutes we have left before our next break, what is the weirdest story from the week, Pat Krailow?
Oh, we had a couple of real doozies here. I don't have, do I have this one? Oh, yeah, here's, I actually have to choose between two. My second place one is the one with the Aaron Rodgers quote, where he says, you know, words are so interesting. They have such power in their spells. There's a reason it's called spelling, because the way the letters are put together have such power. What?
I read that yesterday. Where was that? Who was he talking to?
He was speaking at a conference in Colorado, arguing for the legalization of psychedelics.
Okay.
Of course. So there was the one. And then there's the other that somebody said, this particular headline, you could have infinite monkeys with infinite typewriters and they would never be able to come up or recreate the headline that accompanied the stepson of the billionaire who was lost at sea. And that headline was, California man whose billionaire stepfather is on missing sub asks an OnlyFans model to sit on him for 30 minutes after pleading for prayers as he triggers war of words with Cardi B over a Blink 182 concert. You're never going to see a headline like that, again. That's your weirdest.
That story, well, I mentioned that yesterday, and Jade was like, so, I was like, yeah, this guy is clearly...
Well, he should be at the conference with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, that's where he should be.
All right. Well, that is our Peck Wrightlow's best, worst, and weirdest of this week. When we come back, he will still be here, and we'll have a little bit of a quiz. Jane's not here to play again, so it's you versus yourself, Pat, on some headline news from this week. We'll see how you do, and we'll learn a little bit more about Up North News and also a pending Peck Wrightlow show that's coming up.
The rumor.
That's the rumor. All right, stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. Jane Matinair has the day off. We have Kelvin on the board and are joined by Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio, which you can hear across the Civic Media Network, but you have to wake up at 6 a.m. to hear it.
No. We can.
You're also a podcast.
As a podcast. You want the whole app and website commercial to go along with it? Yes.
Let's hear how you pitch it. I can take pointers.
Yes, some pointers. You just go to civicmedia.us, and every hour of what we do is turned into a podcast episode. You can subscribe there or all the usual places, Apple, Spotify, or just listen live on the website or on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or the Up North News YouTube page. We're everywhere. Everywhere.
Worldwide.
Worldwide. And I have to say, one of the joys about getting to be on your show here is noticing the different styles. You are, not relaxed, you're Preggers, but I mean, you just kind of sit back, but your arms are up here. And who's the old former TV anchor who's just sitting here ramrod straight, and trying to have good diction, and then suddenly notices that behind him is a stack of blank VHS tapes that I found in my basement. And I had to ask on air today, does anybody use or need a bunch of blank VHS tapes? Because I just stumbled upon these in the basement.
I barely have some. It is funny. Yeah. I've noticed whenever there's pictures of me, like if I sit on a panel at like any kind of event, I have terrible posture. I looked very relaxed usually, and it's like kind of slunk down, like legs crossed, and I do not the erect position of tall posture. I clearly was not on enough TV. How long were you an anchor for?
Just about 10 years on Channel 13 in Eau Claire, and then I had my first midlife crisis and went into politics and served in the legislature, and then after getting bounced from there and losing a race for Congress, I had my second midlife crisis and lived in the Caribbean for 3 years, and then came back. So like you, but on an island, not a coast.
Although the Cayman Islands seem pretty sweet.
Was it hard
to leave the Cayman Islands?
Yes. It was for me because I had a really good gig at a TV station down there. And my wife is an OBGYN, and her gig started off really well. But by the end of her 3-year contract, it was getting to be less fun for her. And we were starting to have more grandkids. And so we decided to come back to Chippewa Falls. And, no regrets in going down, but no regrets in coming back either.
Absolutely. I totally.
What they don't tell you is it's heavenly. It's heaven there from Christmas to Easter. They don't tell you about how from Easter to Christmas, you basically feel like you're living on top of an exhaust vent from hell because of the heat and the humidity. It's just always so humid.
It's so humid. And
seriously, can I tell you my Wi-Fi password when we moved back?
Sure.
Was dry underwear, because we were so thankful to finally have it again, because you walk out your door and it's already 100% humidity and 85 degrees, and you sit in your car seat. And all the sweat that has been running down your back catches up with you when you sit in the car and you go, not again. And that's your puddle for the rest of the day. And once Sherry mentioned it too, I was like, okay, so it's not just me. It's everybody. You really appreciate seasons and dry underwear when you come back to the Midwest.
Well, that you should put that on a poster as far as trying to recruit people from the hotter climates to move here. So, do you want dry underwear? Move to Wisconsin.
Perfect. We'll give that a go.
We'll give it a go. We'll see if we put that on a billboard, how much traction we get. All right. Well, this is the time of the week where we typically have a little bit of a headline quiz to see what headlines you caught wind of. And so I got five questions for you, all multiple choice, and we'll see how you do. All right, so the first one is, which country's immigration ramp up has led to the fastest population growth rate among high income economies? A, Saudi Arabia, B, New Zealand, C, Canada, D, Japan.
That's a good question. And simply because I've been to and I'm absolutely in love with New Zealand, I'm gonna guess there.
It's Canada.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
That would have been my realistic guess, but I wanted it to be New Zealand because I want to go back.
We talked about that earlier this week. They basically have, like, loosened immigration a ton, and they've been able to recruit. Like, they hit 40 million people this year, which is still a lot less than the U.S., but as far as it's whatever they're doing is certainly working. All right, next question. Fill in the blank. A blank company has placed ads in a video game to recruit in real life employees. A, fracking. B, cannabis. C, nursing. D, trucking.
Cannabis sounds like it's too easy, so I'm going to say nursing.
It's actually trucking. They've put trucking, a trucking company has placed ads into a trucking video game because there is such a thing. I've also learned recently
that's not autocorrect, is it? It's an actual trucking
video game? It's actually trucking. It's not a... Okay. But it is... I also heard there's video games where you like power wash the side of a building. Like there's a video game for everything as far as...
Oh, yes.
I am not a big gamer, but apparently this is not the first time that they have... Companies have tried to appeal to gamers to recruit them to come work with them by placing ads in the games that they're playing.
I've got to think it would work.
I don't know. Do you think gamers are really going to be like, let's go drive a truck?
Well, I mean, if you accept that not all gamers, you know, are living in their mother's basements and don't want a job, yes. I mean, it's not N equals zero. There's got to be somebody.
That's true. All right, we got to power through these. We only got a couple minutes left. Number three, the USDA approved what food product for sale in the U.S. this week? A, Four Loko. B, lab-grown chicken. C, pink sauce. D, magic mushroom burgers.
I'm going to go with B.
Lab-grown chicken. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Got that one right. All right. And then certain subreddits are only allowing... to protest Reddit's plan to charge popular third-party apps money, certain subreddits are only allowing posts showing A, Karl Lagerfeld's cat, B, John Oliver, C, Kendall Jenner, D, Rick Astley.
I'm going to go with A, the cat.
It's actually John Oliver.
No way.
So there are certain subreddits now. So instead of being dark, there are certain subreddits that... are all just pictures of John Oliver, and he has blessed the the attention. And so
that's beautiful.
We only have a couple minutes left, or a couple seconds left, so I want to make sure that we plug the show one more time. Pat Kreitlow, you can hear him Up North News Radio from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. across the Civic Media Network, Monday through Friday. And when can people look forward to the Pat Kreitlow show?
That is TBD based on getting the studio in Chippewa Falls at WCFW up and running. And once it is, there will be a local Chippewa Valley show from 8 to 9 in the morning.
That is very exciting. Are you ready for 3 hours of radio? I just stepped back from 3 hours of radio and I'm pretty happy about it. Are you ready to get back to it?
Yeah, because the two I'll always continue doing as a statewide show. But, the Chippewa Valley hasn't had a good one-hour call-in show for a few years here. So it'll be nice to bring that back.
Perfect. All right. Well, so fun to talk to you, as always, Pat Kreitlow.
You too.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. When we come back, CJ Safer will be here. But stick around for the top of the hour news. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Hey!